Is there really a God? Somebody said, Dan, I already know the answer to that. Yep, I'm glad you do. And part of this lesson will be things that you will already know. But Peter wrote, when he wrote to 2 Peter, says, you know, I want to stir up your minds of things that you already know. I want to remind you of things that you already know. And as you leave this day, you may already be a believer in God, but I want you to walk out today with your faith fortified, saying, there really is a God. And I know it even better now, and I've been reminded of some things that I have just overlooked. Is there really a God? Look at the text of the lesson. Psalms 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. And all around us, there's the evidence that there is God, and it's there in the creation. And while we cannot identify who that God is, we recognize it, do we not? Have not pagans made gods out of the nature that is around them? Have not pagans worshiped the sun god? Remember the Egyptian? You know the gods of those in the long ago? Have they not made gods of things that are a part of the very creation of God? Have you ever thought of the name of this day? It is the sun day. And tomorrow will be the moon day. And I know we mispronounce it, but when that name was first given, it is the sun day. It is the moon day. And 6 days from now will be the Saturn day. Where'd all that come from? It came from a realization that the individual saw those heavenly bodies and they said, that is much, much greater than I am. But we got to talk about this God. We want to talk about the definition of God so that you and I are on the same page whenever we talk about, is there really, really a God? There are many powers and many forces in this world, and I've got that in quotation marks because I'm not sure exactly the word that you would use to talk about gods. When we talk about God in this lesson, we're talking about the Supreme One. You can start down here with that one-celled animal, the paramecium, the amoeba, and you can keep on going on up and up and up and up. And finally, as far as the Time Life magazine of evolution progression is, you get to the top of the pyramid, and right there's mankind, Homo sapien, walking around. That's the ultimate. Oh, no. That's not the ultimate. When we use the word God, we're talking about someone that is higher than Homo sapiens. We're talking about someone who is higher than the angels, if there are angels. We're talking about who sits at the top of the pyramid, the absolute supreme one. Is there really someone in charge? And young people especially, we'll talk to you today because I want you to know you cannot live on your mama's and daddy's faith. Some of you will be going away to college, and you need to recognize that when you get away to college, you'll have freedom that you may not have ever had before, and you'll be making life's decisions even as you are now, but far more once you get out of school. You cannot live on the fact that your mamas and daddies told you there is a God. There's got to be something deeper than that. But that's not just for young people. It is for every one of us. Is there really someone that is above all? Is there an Almighty? Is there an Eternal One? And that's why the Bible says, and the heavens declare His glory. Does not identify Him as the God of the Bible, and we shall progress to that as this lesson is developed. But you and I need to recognize if there is a supreme being, if those individuals who in the long ago began to worship powers greater than them and began to recognize the beginning of seasons and put religious festivals in the spring of the year, in the fall of the year, if they recognize there must be something out there, the question is, if He is there, has He revealed Himself to me? Think about it. If there's a God and he hadn't revealed himself to me, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Do you? If there is someone up there, and then deism is the word to describe that, that God created the world, then it says, I think I'll just fold my hands and see what happens down there on the earth. I'm never going to have anything else to do with it. That might have been what you did with those play soldiers that you had in your childhood when you had those little green soldiers. Do they still have those, young people? That's all your great-grandparents had. And they'd set up an army against each other, and now you do it. Now you do it. Oh, you're so far ahead, man. You can play these war games. Is that what that is? Is God just sitting up there, and he's got a little computer game, and he just says, well, what's going to happen down there? Is that God? If God exists and God has not revealed himself to me, I'm okay and you're okay. Because we couldn't know what he wanted us to do. We might know there's an almighty one, but there's no way on earth that we could know what he wanted him to do. And then, has he revealed himself to you and to me in this respect so that I can understand him? You see, it may be that God has only revealed himself to those who are intellectually superior to any of us who are here. They've got to have two, three or four terminal degrees and everything, and you've got to be so intellectually supreme that if you're really, really brilliant, then you'll be able to find God. You'll be able to see him. But you poor folks here at Palm Beach, look, I'm sorry, you're not smart enough to see him. Is that it? Has God revealed himself in such a way? Troy, how old are you? 8? 10 years of age. Has the God of the heaven revealed himself in such a way that a 10-year-old boy can understand him? And those of you who were once 10 years ago, 9 decades ago, you understand what I'm talking about? Has he revealed in such a way that it, with your brain, running at about half speed and everything, and your gas tank's about, you used to have that photographic memory, you've lost all the film, they don't make film anymore, and so you're really, really in trouble. Has he revealed himself in such a way that just common folks like us could find him? Now, if he has, there's one other question. If there is a God and he's revealed himself and revealed himself in a way that just common folks can understand him, am I accountable to him? That's the question. You're living the way you want to. If you've never got to answer to the guy that's in charge, to the Almighty One, it doesn't make any difference how you live. It doesn't make any difference whether you worship him or not. It doesn't make any difference. You can live like an animal because, you see, you only live once and you're not accountable. But is that the God that we want to talk about today? Many gods exist. There's Mother Nature as God. Mother Earth is a rather more common way to talk about the supreme force in all of this world is Earth. That's not something new. That's pantheism from ancient Greek philosophy. The God is in everyone, and we're all. And so here's the universe and its pantheism. And so I've just got in my meditation to just have a little word that I say over and over again, and I commune with Mother Nature, and I make sure I take care of Mother Nature's planet, because that is what is supreme. Mother Nature. How do you know what Mother Nature wants to do? How does Mother Nature want you to treat your wife? How does Mother Nature want you to... I'm not asking how do your wife want you to treat your wife. How does Mother Nature reveal to you what you ought to do toward your enemies? Has Mother Nature given you a right to lie? Do you know, is it right or wrong to lie? And is it always right to lie or always right to tell the truth? You see, if there is no revelation, but yet people have made that a god. And then there are those who in ancient times have made God out of wood or out of metal. It's remarkable in the Bible, particularly in the book of Isaiah, that Isaiah describes a man who's making an idol. He goes and he cuts down a tree. And when he cuts the tree down, he takes half of that tree. And guess what he does? Makes firewood out of it. And so he's got this firewood and he cooks the meat and everything. And now he's able to eat this. And then he takes that other half of that tree and makes an idol out of it. And the Bible says, you know, that idol has eyes that cannot see, has ears that cannot hear. Here's a piece of wood. Let's make this our God right here. We've got a piece of wood here. Wood, is it all right if I slap my enemies in the face? And the wood says, go right ahead. Because you see, that becomes a reflection of my morality. I've got a semblance of an idol I brought from Fiji that I brought back. It's not really one that they worship. And I remember one time, I used it here on the stage as a prop and thought about using it again. But when, I won't call him by his name, but his last name, well, when Harrison was about this big, I brought Harrison up on the stage and I said, Harrison, you look at that idol. Does he have eyes? Yes. Can he see? I thought I was going to make the greatest point on earth. And so here's a little five or six-year-old boy who watches cartoons and does everything else and lives in a world filled with fantasy. And right then and there, I said, does he have ears that he can hear? Does he have eyes that he can see? And he looked at him and he said, yep, he sees me right now. I hope Harrison knows better now. I'm sure he does. Eyes they have, they cannot see. I'm really having a problem. I'm trying to figure out who's going to help me. Pew, my heart is broken. My father has just died. Comfort me, old pew. That's idolatry. And so the Bible talks about dumb, D-U-M-B, meaning they cannot speak. And you turned away from dumb idols to serve a living God. There's another God that people have, and it's made out of paper, linen cloth. Someone correct me the last time I said it, but it's the same plant, same vegetation type thing. It's called money. You know what's at the top of the pyramid? Money. Win the lottery, you got it made the rest of your life, except you lost the ticket. You understand? You got it made. That's the ultimate. All of that money that you have, does it make you happy? You stop and think about it. No, not really. It's of no use at all. Whenever there's adversity comes into my life, it's just paper. That's why those men in South America several years ago, when that plane crashed and they had suitcases full of money, guess what they did with the money in the mountainous cold weather of the Andes? That's what it's worth. And then there are those who just take a view of pantheism that says all of the gods are all of the gods. The Baha'i faith, I don't know if you ever know that terminology at all, but let's just take the best of the Islamic religion and the best of the Buddhist religion. Let's take the best of Judaism. Let's take the best of Christianity. And let's just combine all of those gods into one supreme God. Let me tell you something. If somebody tries to tell you, some Islamic person, some Muslim person that says, we worship the same God that you worship, we do not call him Jehovah, we call him Allah, you need to say to them up front, did Allah have a son that died for me? That's the answer to that. Well, let's talk about the evidence. Is there any evidence that there is a supreme being? Well, there's intellectually the evidence. The Greek philosophers came out with this and said something is, therefore something eternally was. And that's not something that, you're just preaching something you read out in the Bible. Well, that principle is obviously in the Bible. But pagans came up with this. Here is this thing, and therefore something has eternally been here. Let me see if I can illustrate. If I had a glass jar and I put a lid on it and sealed that thing up and took out every molecule of air inside of it, I know it collapsed, but it's my story. And I take out everything that's inside that, and I seal that glass jar up, and I set it right here, and I walk away from it, and I come back in 10 minutes. What's going to be there? If there's nothing in it, I walk away for 10 months or 10 years or 10 centuries, and I walk back again. There's nothing in that jar when I left it. There'd be nothing in that jar right now. If I walk away 10 billion years and come back to it, you and I both know that if in the universe there was ever an empty universe, there'd be no universe. There'd be nothing inside that universe right now. There are only two possibilities. Either matter. That's why you study science and physics. It's a study of material things. Either matter is eternal, or there is something that is eternal called the mind, the spirit. Star Wars, the Force. That's the only two possibilities. I want to suggest to you that with only those two possibilities of mind and matter, that you and I can readily understand that matter in and of itself does not create design. Let's see if I can illustrate. What if there were an explosion down at, just out in the desert somewhere, out in the Amazon? You put that explosion anywhere you want to, okay? And there's some dynamite that goes off. There's the Big Bang that goes off. And guess what happened? It took all of those trees, so that's why I got out of the desert and went to the Amazon, and it threw all of those trees up in the air, and it sliced them right down into 2x4s and 2x6s, and there was metal in the ground, and it made nails out of all of them, and there was some sort of oil, and it made asphalt shingles, or it made wood shingles, and there's sand in that soil, and that's what glass is, and would you believe with that explosion out there in the Amazon, it all came down, and there was a house there. Do you know the Bible, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 4 says, wait a minute, every house is built by somebody. If you saw it, you walking through the woods and you saw a log cabin, what would you think? Must have been an explosion around here sometimes. If you are, you can go and go home. You're getting in on a baby ticket into heaven, all right, okay. No, you'd say, wow, somebody's been here before me. Design demands a designer. Look at this building. Look up at the ceiling up there. Look at all of those eight sections that are up there. And look at how they all come together and how they're all perfectly joined together. How'd that happen? Look at the windows in this building, equally spaced. Look at everything that's around you. Look at all of these pews, hopefully evenly spaced. Look at all of the things that is... What do you see? Design demands a designer. If a house demands a builder, Then what about a watch? Does a watch demand a builder? The watch you have on your arm, does it demand somebody made it? Let me ask you this. Here's a watch that used to have wheels and everything in it, have inner workings that made all of these things work. And somebody intricately sat down and figured out how to make every one of those wheels inside there interact with all the other wheels. Which is greater, a watch or our solar system, our galaxy? And if you cannot believe that a watch can make itself, there is no way that you can believe that a universe with created totally out of matter with some big explosion 13.4 billion years ago, and all of the order that's in this universe came about. Houses do not make themselves. Watches do not make themselves. A camera does not make itself. Those cameras with those long lens. Have you ever thought about the human eye and all the intricate things that are involved in that retina and that optic nerve and that nerve that carries to a brain, and it allows you to differentiate all of the different colors and to see what goes with hot whenever you dress? Does this go with that? You understand what I'm talking about? You know, all of this intricate thing that is there. And it allows you instantly, if you didn't have glasses and had good eyesight, to focus immediately up close and then to focus out there in the distance. There's hardly a camera that can do that. Immediately adjust when you walk into a darkened room, or immediately adjust whenever you walk out into the brilliant sunshine. I'm telling you, a camera demands a builder, and the human eye demands a maker. What about these heart-lung machines? Having written this down, I almost went ahead and put it here and almost came back and took out the heart-lung machine, where they can take you and stop your heart and remove your heart, at least in some or disconnect it some way from your body. And there's this big machine over there that oxygenates the blood. And it keeps it pumping and everything, and it separates all of the carbon dioxide from all and puts in oxygen all in the blood. And here's this massive machine, and you've got one built in your heart, and you'd have a heart attack, and it'll repair itself. Let that machine break at the hospital. So many of you know people, or you may be the one on dialysis. You know the size of that machine that helps you with dialysis? Do you know the size of these two dialysis machines I carry around with me all the time? The kidneys? If that dialysis machine cannot exist without a maker, without some intellectual, without some mind, without some force to create it, then these two that I have inside my body have got to have a maker. Is there a God? The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. And how thankful we ought to be that that is true. There's a second way of doing it, and I've got to hurry. Movement demands a mover. I preached this sermon 30 years ago in another building, in another place, and right in the middle of the sermon, and Clayton, you and Micah almost had a job this morning of standing right over here behind these columns that were here with some tennis balls, and right in the middle of my sermon, my son Jonathan started throwing tennis balls up here at me. He was hiding behind the columns in that other building, and guess what? There wasn't a single person in there that said, "Well, those tennis balls, they just decided it's time to go out for a little walk, a little stroll," and on their own, they just started bouncing up here all over the stage. No, every person in that auditorium looked to see, where do those balls come from? Because things that are stopped remain stopped. There's got to be that initial mover. There's got to be. Movement demands a mover. Let me tell you something else. Not only does movement demand a mover, but life demands a life force. In ancient times, in the Middle of Ages, they might have talked about the spontaneous generation of life. That's what they used to believe. They used to believe that if you leave a lot of old rags in the corner of a room, guess what? Those old, inert rags would create mice in your house. That was scientific. Just a very few hundred years ago. There can be no life. Every plant you know came from a mother plant, which came from a mother plant, which came from a mother plant. There is, listen, there is an eternal force, and He is an eternal life giver. Somebody said, Dan, you don't understand this. One of these days, scientists are going to be so great that they're going to be able to create life inside a laboratory. Somewhere on this, somewhere there will be life created on this, somewhere on this earth. And that proves that there is such thing as spontaneous generation of life. Hello? What's going to happen and where is it going to happen? Some living being may be able to take that which already exists and create life out of it. But all it would prove is life only comes from life. Let me tell you, only two possibilities. Matter create explosions and chaos results. Or mind, intellect, spirit, life. Now then, we've only proved that there is a God. The question is there evidence that God, the supreme force, the Almighty, is the God of the Bible? Just state a couple of things we've already stated. The heavens declare His glory, but you wouldn't have a clue how you ought to live. Just to acknowledge and look at nature, you'll never be able to understand. Creation cannot teach you His will, the will of the Creator. Well, how do I find this being? Well, one way would be to examine all of the religions of the world and examine the founders of all of those religions. And is there within Buddhism, is there within the Islamic religion, is there within the Tao religion, is there within all of the religions, where did they come from? Where did the founders come from? And what happened to the founders? The tombs of political movements and religious movements on this earth are tombs that are occupied. I want you to suggest that the way God could reveal Himself to us would be to help us see one who has almighty power when He lives on this earth, and let Him manifest by His power over sickness and His power over the weather and His power over all of the storms and the sea, and His power over all kinds of sickness, and His power over death. That's the way the Supreme One can reveal Himself to me. I want you to understand that Jesus of Nazareth makes Christianity unique. Can I say that again? Jesus of Nazareth makes Christianity unique. All I ask is for people to treat Jesus as a man of history like they treat every other man of history. Michael, let's do this in a hurry. What year is this? You can speak out. 2018. What year was it? 18 years ago. Is this too hard? What year was it? Speak loud so everybody can hear you. 2000, I'm not hearing you. 500 years before that, what year was it? Okay, 1500. Okay, 1500. 500 years before that, what year was it? 1,000. 500 years before that. We got a genius here. Just 500 years before the year 1,000, what year was it? 500. 500 years before that, what year was it? Zero. 500 years before zero, what was it? 500 what? B.C. What's B.C. stand for? You know, are you aware that something had to happen on this earth 2,018 years ago that was so unbelievably important that mankind put a marker down right there and says, this is the most important day in history. All the days before this were before this date, and all the days after that are a part of this day. And every atheist and agnostic on this earth, writing down the very year of this, acknowledges that something happened 2,000 years ago. And you know what that was? Jesus was born. That's the difference in Christianity than world religions. The life of Jesus makes it all different. Treat Jesus as a man of history. What do you know about Alexander the Great? What do you know about his life? Lay the Bible aside, and do you know you can prove by secular history that a man named Jesus lived on this earth? And there are people who are not even Christians who were almost contemporaneous with Jesus, and they affirm he did many marvelous signs and wonders. And the Bible says, and it is by those signs and wonders that you can know Christianity is right. Let me issue a challenge to you. Young people, here it is. To all of us. I would challenge you to recognize the folly of not thinking about what we've talked about today. Walk out of here and forget it. That's foolish. The Bible says a man is foolish who says there is no God. If the evidence is not there, then don't you buy into something that is a myth. But if Jesus of Nazareth lived and they buried him in the tomb, and that's a historical fact, and if that tomb was empty on that Sunday morning, and that's a historical fact, deal with that. Treat Jesus like a man of history. Is there a God? Has he revealed himself to me? Has he revealed himself to me in a way that I can understand him? Yes, because I can sit down and I can read the Bible and I can come to an understanding of Jesus. Let me say it this way. When they said to Jesus, show us what the Father is like, he says, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You know what God is like? Then sit down and read the Bible. That individual who was born of a virgin, the only person to ever been born of a virgin, lived on this earth. He was merciful. He was kind. He was compassionate. And thank God he was resurrected. And thank God that he says, you want to go to heaven? You want to find God? No man comes to the Father except through me. And that's the only way. Buddha? Mohammed? No man comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. That's what he said. And his miracles authenticate every word that he said. And the amazing thing is that he started a movement on this earth called the church. Upon this rock, he said, I'll build my church. And he selected those apostles. And he started a religious movement different from anything they'd ever seen. It was not national, only related to one nation. It was international. It was not just for the rich. It was for all mankind. It was for the intellectuals and those who were not intellectuals. He established something that took all mankind and made them one. Visitors, you may not be aware, but in this auditorium, Right now, if we have all of those, all of our members here, there are more than 20 nationalities who've been made one by the blood of Jesus. Thank God He did that. And remember, He's the final judge. Here's the challenge if you're visiting with us. Don't let this be the last time you ever visit us. Come and see. Come again. We're not playing church. We're trying to get inside this amazing book and find the God of heaven and find His will and to change our lives so that He who spoke the very words of life, Jesus the Son of God, spoke the very words of God, can tell us how to live and tell us what life is about. We want to help you. When you drove into the property today, you saw a sign that says Church of Christ. Visitors, what we're trying to be is not some movement that some man in the 1800s or some man in our own lifetime started a religious movement. No. Jesus built a church on this earth. And come and see. He promised an eternal, unchanging church. And the question we ask you to consider, is this that church? If you could put a first century Christian in a time warp machine and brought him into the building, he'd recognize the Lord's Supper. He'd know that's what we did. And when we'd pray about the very same things he prayed about. And he'd understand, though our money system would look different, he'd understand what giving was all about upon the first day of the week. Let's give. And he'd understand it every bit. And where we all sing to each other and the voices of some are not exalted above the voices of others, because the book says, make the melody in your heart, and that's what makes singing acceptable. And he'd say, they're still doing it. And it is my hope and prayer that he would say, and that little short, fat guy standing up there preaching is preaching just like the Apostle Paul. Come and see. We're simply people who love Jesus, who honor His Word, and we're not going to add to it. We're not going to take away from it. We're just going to be Christ's church. And if you're visiting with us and you want to know more about it, let's let some of the members of this church talk to somebody sitting beside you and say, I'd like to find out more about this church. And we're not like the Jehovah's Witness. Maybe I shouldn't say that. But whose approach is to take the Bible and just ram it down your throat. No, it's to simply say, here's a book, and it's from God. And one of these second Sundays, we're going to talk about, can I know that the Bible is from God? And if somebody invited you today about that, they'll be inviting you again to another lesson about things that really matter. But it may be that you've been coming before and you understand some of the things that the Creator expects of you. He expects of you to hear the Word of God. Faith comes from hearing the Word of God, Romans 10:17 says. He expects you to believe in Jesus, not that you just close your eyes and cross your fingers and knock on wood and just, well, I just hope it's all right. No, but because the evidence is there and you've looked at the evidence and you can say, I know Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God, and that's going to cause me to repent, to make a commitment of my life to Jesus. And when I acknowledge to others that I believe in Jesus, then I can be immersed in water just like that was done in Bible times. Not some modern way of doing it. This is Christ's church. And when we do that, He adds us to the body. And then He says, When you're baptized into me, you belong to me. Now don't you give up. You be faithful unto death. We're trying to serve God, and we want to help you go to heaven. Let us know anyway that we can help you find the will of God for your life. If you need to respond to the invitation of Jesus, you can do so right now by coming to the front as together we stand and sing. Will you come?